The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Grabbed by Klingberg, and he just races up the middle with it. Looks on the left for a man. Skinner tips into the offensive zone. Couldn't really control it. And so the Kings will get it back. 6:40 remaining in the game. Here are the Kings on the right moving in. They score! Brant Clark taking the pass on the right wing side and beating Askarov cleanly with a hard wrist shot. Suddenly, the Kings are ahead 4-3.
Yeah. You know, I didn't love her first, but it wasn't horrible. A couple goals go in. We're just a little slow through the neutral zone and getting onto their forecheck, and a little too cute in the offensive zone, and then we started figuring it out there in the second and third. So our identity's coming. It's coming. I know I keep saying that, but we played hard tonight. I give credit to the group. They worked hard. They battled back. Just obviously came up a little short.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? The San Jose Sharks had a relatively normal loss last night. It was not them getting, you know, pushed around like they did by the Hurricanes. It was not them not finding their offensive game like we saw in the game against the Devils. It was just San Jose falling short, and that was fine, right? Like, you don't have to always have these amazing comebacks. You don't always have to have these amazing wild swings of games where you're getting beat up like they did in the game against Carolina, for instance, or where they find an incredible way to lose like they did in the first two games of the year. This was just the San Jose Sharks ending up on the wrong end of a result. And I think that for a young team, you need those sometimes. It can't always be heartbreak. It can't always be just a, you know, dive off a cliff at the last possible moment. And for San Jose, I don't, you know, look at this game and think that there was anything particularly wrong with their game overall. I give a lot of credit to Darcy Kemper, who was phenomenal in net for LA, who made a number of stops, who made a number of huge plays to keep his Kings in a tie game, A, or being able to hold on in a late game situation when the Sharks had a 6-on-5 and then a 6-on-4 situation. So, you know, just more and more credit to what the Sharks are continuing to build towards here. In the early part of the season, we saw Macklin Celebrini with an absolutely incredible pass to Will Smith to get the Sharks a goal. And that was one of those things where the chemistry between those two guys is so incredibly palpable. And it's not just that they are friends off the ice and they're having a good time, but you know, the fact that their games are so cohesive and complementary of each other, and they know where they're going to be, they know what they're going to be doing. We saw a variety of times throughout this game that, you know, they were going to find each other, that they were going to create opportunities. And, you know, I thought they created a number of really high quality opportunities. They created chances. Again, Darcy Kemper was phenomenal for LA and stopped a number of them, stopped Toffoli on a couple of occasions. You know, just that's how it goes sometimes in the NHL. You're going to run into the hot goalie and he's going to make you pay for his overall ability and talent. But there was nothing out of this game where I'm absolutely just despondent or wildly upset about or anything. It was just a game where the Sharks wildly outperformed LA. You know, they outshot them 40-14. Although at the end of the game last night it was 41. This morning it says 40 in the stats. Whatever. But the Sharks ended up on the wrong side of this one. I think they look at this and they say, you know what, we're okay with our effort. You don't love that they fell behind 3-0, but I don't have a problem with the fact that they got themselves back into the game and tied it at 3. If you give yourself a chance, right, and they weren't really doing anything that was horribly awful on those plays where they ended up being in a deficit, I think that brings us to the one thing out of the night where you're not overall concern, but I guess you're just a little bit frustrated, and that's with the play of Yaroslav Askarov, who to start off the year has been inconsistent. And Askarov, after the game, was, you know, a little bit short. He was not his usual affable self to the same extent. And that was one of the things that I'm going to take away from this, is that he was relatively upset with the way that he performed, I think. I think especially, you know, the second, third, and fourth goals, he's going to want those back. The first one, that's not on him at all. After that, you know, you question whether or not he saw the puck really cleanly. And I think that on the second goal in particular, Klingberg could have gone out and defended a little bit more. He just kind of got stuck in no man's land, didn't get out of the way enough for Askarov, didn't close down enough to try and impact the shot. And I don't know if that impacted Askarov's vision, but Askarov just didn't seem to see the puck. And if they're coming on, you know, that near side, it seems like that's an area where they're trying to pick on him right now. And he's got to figure out how to eliminate that from his game. He's got to figure out what he needs to do to stop those pucks, because not that I'm never going to put all the blame on the goalie, right? I'm not going to go out there and say the Sharks lost this game because of that. No, that's not why the Sharks didn't win the game. Sharks didn't win the game because A, they got behind 3-0. If you get behind 3-0 at home, you've put yourself in a terrible situation. And B, they saw Darcy Kuemper on the other side play an absolutely phenomenal game. And that is going to happen from time to time in the NHL. But, you know, Yaroslav Askarov, had he been able to make some of those stops, then you're looking at a situation where you're, you know, maybe in a lead 3-2 as opposed to tying it 3-3. And then that changes the dynamic after that. But, you know, that's the one thing out of last night where you're saying, eh, I wish he was a little bit better. But, you know, you saw Ryan Warsawski after the game. We'll get into his postgame sound a little bit later. When he was asked about Askarov, he said, you know, that's not the first goalie in the history of the NHL that's a young, highly touted player that's going to have to go through some growing pains. There are going to be ups, there are going to be downs, and there were some points during the game where Askarov made some very nice saves. And one of the things that I've continued to like of the evolution of his game as of late is his ability to control the rebound. But that's something that's secondary to making the stops, right? It's like you need to make the big stops in the big moments. Games provide very, very critical opportunities, very, very critical moments where things are going to swing one way or the other. And if you don't make those stops, or if you're denied on the other side, then you're going to be on the outside looking in, or you're going to be looking up at a 3-0 deficit, which is where the Sharks found themselves. But again, the fact that San Jose was able to claw and fight their way back into that game, wildly swinging the momentum from one direction to the other, that's what I'm more happy about out of this game, that they gave themselves a chance, that they gave themselves a great opportunity. You know, they're down 3-0, you know, barely 7 minutes into the second period, and then they get going with a goal from Will Smith, assisted by Celebrini and Tyler Toffoli, then Philip Kurashev, assisted by Wennberg and Eklund, and then Wennberg, you know, almost 5 minutes into the third period, ties it at 3, and then suddenly it's anybody's game after that. And the Sharks kept on pushing and pushing to the very end. That's what I want to see. And again, this was not a collapse. This was not them getting skated off the ice. I think we should also note that LA is a very good team and they have very, very deep aspirations this year in terms of a Stanley Cup run. It's the last year, you know, for one of their franchise all-time players. And obviously I'm talking about Anze Kopitar, but you know, that's who the Sharks are going up against last night. A very, very good team that it should not be overlooked how good they were last year or how good they've been the last couple of years. The only team that they haven't been able to get by has been those early exits to the Edmonton Oilers. And Edmonton obviously has been in the Stanley Cup final the last couple of years. And they've got, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time on their team in terms of Connor McDavid. So this Kings team is good. I'm not overlooking that at any aspect of this. I'm just frustrated that the Sharks were not able to find that goal at the end like they were. That's, you know, that's the one that you would have hoped they would have been able to get it 4-4, send it to overtime, get a point out of that one. But that's sports, that's hockey, that's life in the NHL. And the effort that the Sharks gave last night is not anything that I'm going to take umbrage with. And I'm looking forward to what they have to do on Thursday night against New Jersey, because San Jose has been in every game as of late. You go back to the start of that road trip, they were in a tight loss to the Islanders. They got the win against the Rangers. They were in a tight loss against the Devils, and then they got the win against the Wild. Last night was a tight loss against the Kings. If this pattern continues, it should be a tight win against New Jersey on Thursday night. And then, you know, the schedule is going to be pretty busy for San Jose in the near future, because after the game on Thursday. Then on Saturday, they're going to be hosting the Avalanche at 1 o'clock. That's a tough game. And then on Sunday at 5, they're going to be going up against the Red Wings. And then obviously they don't get back at it until the following Wednesday when they're going to be in Seattle. But, you know, the Sharks, they're in a difficult situation thanks to their slow start. And, you know, there are a number of reasons why that slow start occurred, but it's over with in terms of the losing streak. They've got a couple wins on the board. And that allows us to look at each game a little bit more in the individual, right? Like, we're not as much caught up at looking at the totality of a losing streak and looking at it in a broader sense from one season to the next. Now we are looking at games in the individual, and the overall trend is that the Sharks have found themselves in a position to win games as of late, as opposed to either being skated off the ice or blowing games in, you know, just incredible capacity like they did in the first two games of the year. And of course, when you have an 11-game losing streak to end the year, starting off with a 6-game losing streak to start the year, people are going to make comparisons and draw parallels from one year to the next. But now we're able to look at these games in their individual essence. We're able to see what the Sharks did, which was positive last night. And you can talk about the fact that they came down from a 3-0 deficit. They swung momentum in their favor. They took control of the games. They wildly outshot LA. For the most part, they played some pretty decent defense, and they controlled various aspects of the game, except for the score. And I know that makes it seem secondary, but you can't just look at the final score as the only telling aspect of the game. But we're able to look at what the Sharks did well in one game and what they did negative in one game and one game alone. It's not amidst some larger narrative of why the Sharks have not been able to take steps forward. And that's what winning does, right? It doesn't fix everything, but it calms everyone down. It allows you to exhale, and it allows your focus and your overall assessment of situations to be that much more filled with clarity, right? Because before, it's all clouded with the losses of 1 year ago versus this year versus 2 years ago. Everyone's caught up in what's gone on during a losing streak. Everyone's caught up in what's happened from the Sharks, you know, and what we've seen the last couple of years. You're not allowed to look at things in the individual. You're stuck in the macro. You can't look at the micro. And I understand why that is, because people are always trying to draw parallels of why things occur and why they occurred a year ago and 2 years ago and why they're occurring now. But as I said, last night we liked a lot of what the Sharks did. We liked a lot of how they played. We liked a lot of the things they did on both sides of the ice. We just don't like the final outcome. And it's a tight loss. You lose 4-3, but it's a normal loss, all right? You're not looking at that and saying, oh my God, I can't believe they let that one slip away. I can't believe that they didn't find, you know, the back of the net in situations. You're just saying, you know what? Darcy Kuemper put forth a really good performance. Otherwise, the Sharks wildly outshot LA. They were the better team on the ice, and they came out on the wrong side of the decision. In the midst of what the Sharks had done in the previous four games, which was play 500 hockey, getting two wins and two losses, you're able to look at this and be okay with it, draw things that you like. No one was losing their mind in the post game. Yaroslav Askarov obviously didn't seem pleased with his performance, and I think he's trying to figure things out early in the year. But Alex Wennberg, who's usually a very good barometer, and you can tell when he's, you know, upset and he's going to give you a very, very, you know, honest assessment of the game, was very clear in saying that, you know, they did a lot of things right, but they ended up on the wrong side of it. That's the frustrating part of things, combined with not being able to get a home win for the first time this year. But the team took strides on that road trip, and they continue to play better hockey, and we're looking for more and more steps forward. While last night isn't a clearly defined step forward in the way of a win, I still didn't have any issue with the way the team played. And I think everyone walks away from that game saying, we did a lot of things right. Let's try and rectify some of those smaller things. Team defense, see if we can set our netminder up even that much better so we can have a better opportunity to make those stops and go from there. Because if the Sharks get 40 shots on net, if they control the puck possession, if you see Macklin Celebrini playing the way he continues to do, by the way, he picked up another point last night, a wildly impressive pass to set up Will Smith for that goal, then you're going to continue to watch the team take strides and take steps forward. And Macklin Celebrini, by the way he has been playing is just an absolute unbelievable level. You know, he would have had a couple more assists last night had it not been for Darcy Kuemper making some absolutely unbelievable saves to deny the Sharks that were set up by Celebrini. That was impressive. And Celebrini, everyone knows it. Every time he steps on the ice, he impacts the game. Every time the puck is on his stick, you can tell there's a little bit of a hushed awe in the stands, because everybody has that brief moment where they're thinking, uh-oh, is Macklin going to do something awesome now? They're waiting for it. And that's unfair, because it's, you know, hard for a player to be amazing every single time that he has the puck on his stick, except Macklin Celebrini with some of the passes he's attempting, some of the ways that he's setting up guys, the shots he's taking, the way he's putting the puck into dangerous places and creating opportunities. It is seemingly amazing every single time he has the puck, and that's what superstars do. They give you hope every single time they're out there on the ice. And like I said, his chemistry with Will Smith is very impressive. Will Smith is playing at a very, very high level. He continues to be consistent with his points. And that's the thing, you know, and we heard Ryan Warsowski talk about it after the game with William Eklund, is that, you know, you're getting consistency game after game after game from these guys. You're watching them stack up points. And, you know, last night, if you look at the points for the Sharks, you saw, you know, a very nice game from William Eklund. You saw a point out of him. You saw a point out of Will Smith. You saw a point out of Macklin Celebrini. You saw Kurashev get back into the line for the last couple of games. He's performing with greater consistency. You saw Alex Wennberg pick up his first couple of points from when they had a game at Utah, which was a loss. But, you know, you're watching the Sharks offense consistently perform. You're watching consistent players be consistent, and that's what you want to see. It's great that Macklin Celebrini can blow up for 5 points every once in a while, or William Eklund with a 3-point game, you know, 2 times on a road trip, or, you know, Will Smith with 2 goals and 2 assists. Things like that are great to see. No one's denying that, but it is the consistency game in, game out that you like, because you know those guys are not always going to have, you know, their great, incredible moments. They're going to have more often than not, it seems, but you also combine that with other guys out there and you're going to give yourself an opportunity to win. Because they will be creating chances. They will be problematic for the opposition, which will create opportunities for other players on the Sharks. And if those guys can take advantage, then that's exactly what you're hoping for. That's exactly what you're looking for out of these performances, to get consistency, to get opportunity, to get a game plan on the ice that you can build upon. And yes, if one of those guys goes supernova and they blow up and win a game themselves, you love it. You absolutely adore it. However, if you have players that are consistent problems, it's going to allow other players on your team to have more opportunities to contribute to the offense themselves. All right, let's get into some of these highlights from last night, and we'll talk about how this game went down. San Jose found themselves in a 3-0 deficit. It was Corey Perry, which, by the way, weird seeing him in a Kings sweater, and I'm sure it is for Kings fan as well, by the way. I asked Darrell Evans about that yesterday on the build-up, if you missed it, and yeah, he said it was a little bit odd, but you know, Corey Perry scored his 3rd goal of the year, 10:54 into the first to give LA a 1-0 lead. And then it was Jeff Mellott with the 2nd goal. And that was one that I thought that, you know, Klingberg's got to close down and defend or get out of the way so that Askarov has a clearer view of the puck. That makes it a 2-0 game. Askarov, you know, I feel like he should have stopped that puck. You know, maybe it's obviously different from his point of view, but I feel like in the future that's one that he needs to stop. And then about 3 minutes later, Drew Doughty makes it a 3-0 game. And again, that was one I felt like Askarov needed to stop. But you're down 3-0, you know, not even 10 minutes into the second period. That's a game that has the ability to get away from you. But the Sharks fought their way back into this one. 15:33 of the second period. Will Smith with his 3rd goal of the year, assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Tyler Toffoli. Let's hear Dan Rusinowski's call of the goal that got the Sharks back into this game.
Rebound kept in by Toffoli. Smith behind the goal. Sets up Celebrini off the end board. Back to Smith. Score! God. Celebrini took it from Smith right back to Celebrini and right back to Smith. And Smith finishes it off to put the Sharks on the board with a goal as gorgeous as you'll ever see. 4:27 to go in the second. The Sharks are on the board.
A reaction from Dan Boyle in there when he's just going, oh my God. Yeah, Dan Boyle, one of the all-time greats, watching Macklin Celebrini with an unbelievable pass to set up Will Smith. But it set the building on fire. The crowd got back into it because you've got Mac and Will, two cornerstone pieces of the franchise and their future, combining for that goal to get the Sharks back into the game. That was absolutely huge. And then it wasn't too long after that that Philip Kurashev got the Sharks just 1 goal out, assisted from Alexander Wennberg and William Eklund. Suddenly 17:16 of the second period, it's 3-2, and the Sharks are in this game.
Rebound, nice check there by Laferriere, knocked it aside. Eklund kept it in, though. Excellent job. He moves to the slot, he shoots it, oh, in front, score! A weird bounce, and it comes out in front, and Philip Kurashev is Johnny on the spot, bangs it in, and now it's a 1-goal hockey game.
And one of the things I consistently talk about is hard work going unrewarded. And at that point of the game, the Sharks and their efforts finally started to be rewarded. It goes from 3-0 and then 3-1 and 3-2 just minutes apart. And San Jose's right back in that game. There's energy in the building. SAP Center came to life. And that was a great crowd last night. I know it wasn't a sellout. It's a Tuesday night. Hasso Plattner's talked about how that's a tough sell for Sharks fans. And yeah, we get it. Tuesday night, when you're a team that's on the rebuild or, you know, building, you've done the teardown, it's going to be hard to sell tickets. But, you know, the beat LA chants that were going through the building at that point after they made it 3-2 were loud. The fans were engaged. There was energy in the building, and there was a lot of momentum on San Jose's side as they went into the second intermission and came out in the third period. Alex Wenberg, with his second goal of the year, assisted by Philip Kurashev and Jeff Skinner, made it 3-3, and at this point, you felt like anything could happen.
Final seconds of the power play ticking off. Here's Alex Skinner in front. Kurashev, Wenberg, score! Tic-tac-toe! Alex Wenberg ties the game at 3 at 4:48 of the third period. And for Wenberg, that is his second goal of the year.
Unfortunately for San Jose, that would be as close as they got. But they did keep on fighting. And obviously that end sequence when it's 6-on-5 and then 6-on-4. You give a lot of credit to Darcy Kuemper. The Sharks created a number of chances. And I keep on coming back to this, guys. They gave themselves a chance. This is not a game they let slip away. They didn't perform particularly well in some critical moments early in the game, but they got themselves back into it, made it a 3-3 game, went behind 4-3, and then kept on fighting. And yeah, we've got it. You heard it earlier, but let's hear that go-ahead goal for LA in case you forgot how it happened.
Grabbed by Klingberg, and he just races up the middle with it. Looks on the left for a man. Skinner tips into the offensive zone, couldn't really control it. And so the Kings will get it back. 6:40 remaining in the game. Here are the Kings on the right moving in. They score! Brant Clark taking the pass on the right wing side and beating Askarov cleanly with a hard wrist shot. Suddenly, the Kings are ahead 4-3.
And that would be your final. Let's hear what head coach Ryan Warsawski had to say after this one.
Because it was such a well-played game. It seemed like you guys outplayed them for almost the whole game, but the result didn't end up otherwise.
Yeah, the result stinks, but that we played really hard, did some really good things for our most complete game of the year.
Would you guys like maybe mistakes in the first period? You guys came back, really cleaned them up in the second. I know two goals went in, but is that the identity you're trying to make there in the second period?
Yeah. You know, I didn't love her first, but it wasn't horrible. A couple goals go in. We're just a little slow through the neutral zone and getting onto their forecheck, and a little too cute in the offensive zone, and then we started figuring it out there in the second and third. So our identity's coming. It's coming. I know I keep saying that, but we played hard tonight. I give credit to the group. They worked hard. They battled back. Just obviously came up a little short.
They're putting a lot of traffic in front of Askey. How hard is that to deal with? And do you feel like you need a little bit, you know, get that bailout? Say you've got the one there and the third on the break, yeah. But just do you feel like you needed a couple more from Askey tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I know Askey's a competitive guy. He doesn't want any goals to go in. So, again, it's a young goaltender early in his career that's trying to improve in some areas, and we're going to be there to help him and work with him. But he was there in Minnesota, played a really good game, so still believe in him.
You know, on their third goal by Doughty, it seemed like he had a lot of time in that right circle. Was that related to the change, or what led to him being so open there?
Yeah, I think Skinner had a skate issue, so we were late getting on the change. We just don't close time and space quick enough.
So, Coach, coming off that productive road trip, come back here, get down early, and then fight back, but then have a 6-on-4 situation and don't convert. So how does all that encapsulate the frustration?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we had a 6-on-4, we didn't get any chances. We had some, Tofe has one of the best chances of the game. He probably scores that 95% of the time. So it would be more alarming if we weren't getting opportunities to score. Chanced him heavily tonight. Kuemper played really well. Sometimes that's the way the game works. So again, we got to build on the things that we did really well and keep taking steps to can do it consistently.
What was the message to Kurashev when you sat him, and do you think that he has responded to that message?
Yeah, I mean, that was a long time ago. He played good tonight. He played good against Minnesota. So it's about compete and getting on pucks and winning pucks, and he's done a better job of that.
Shots at even strength in the first 2.5 periods there. Is it just come down to outworking, you know, their team, and just kind of put the effort in, I guess.
Yeah, you have to compete. You have to outwork teams. And every team works hard. You have to compete, and you have to win pucks. And I thought we did the best we've done all year at that, in all three zones. You could tell we were, getting into our structure, and we were communicating. Our guys were engaged. They didn't roll over when it became 3-0. We kept pushing. Obviously, Max Mini connected, makes a big goal. So, did some really good things, other than the scoreboard at the end of the night.
Is Askarov still working on his consistency, right? It's just so you know what you're getting on a nightly basis, right? Because obviously, great in New Jersey, okay in Minnesota, mm-hmm. but tonight obviously wasn't his best.
Yeah, that's what happens with young players in this league. There's the grind of the schedule, coming back home, day off, right back at it tonight. So he's learning as we go here. And he will be better for it, and he'll get better from it. But, we've seen this. This isn't the first goaltender that's, gone through this type of up and down to start their careers. It's just that's usually what happens for most players.
Does he strike you as a guy who can brush this off and kind of come, work on what he needs to work on here?
Yeah, he's done a good job, with Spearsy and working on the things that we've asked him to work on, and he's been receptive to that. Obviously put a good session there back in New York and got better from it, and then we'll put another good session in tomorrow and he'll get better from it. So that's how development works.
How much confidence is Macklin playing with right now?
Yeah, you can tell he's flying out there. He's dangerous. Teams obviously could really notice him, I would assume, from the other side of it. So him and Will are playing at a high level.
And how about Willie Macklin? Do you think this was one of his stronger games?
Yeah, he's playing the best hockey I've seen him play. He's on a mission. He's stacking his games together. That's what we've talked about, and that's when you talk about developing players, is when you start stacking games together. We're seeing Ecky really come in right now into who he's going to be, and he's just going to get better and better. I thought he was really good tonight.
What do you thought of Dickinson on that first goal? What do you thought of his play there?
Yeah, we'd rather keep him at the net. Again, another young player, and I know it sounds like a broken record, but there's no magic pill that just makes them 28 years old. They have to go through this. They're going to make mistakes. We want to try to limit those mistakes every game they play. They're going to hit speed bumps along the way, and we've seen that with Mies and Dickey. We saw it last year with Mac and Will. We see it around the National Hockey League. So we need to limit those mistakes and learn from those as quickly as possible. And get better every single time we have a chance to work with him. And he's done a good job. He's getting more comfortable. I think he got into the game a little bit later than we wanted him to probably today. But he's learning. He's learning. He came back, had a day off, play similar to Askey. So these guys are going to be really good players. They take speed bumps in games, and we got to try to limit the mistakes.
Thank you.
My favorite takeaway of that interview with Ryan Warsofsky, beyond the fact that he was not particularly, upset about the performance, that he does like what he saw on the ice, but was the fact that he said, you can't just make, Sam Dickinson or Yaroslav Askarov, you can't just suddenly make them experienced players in the NHL. They've got to go through this growth process, of which there are ups and downs. And that's going to bring pain along the way, but whether it's Dickinson, whether it's Misa, whether it is Yaroslav Askarov, whether it's going to be eventually Luca Cagnoni, whether it's going to be, continuing that way for Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini, of which they will have their learning moments, they've got to go through it. That's how they become those great players in the NHL. But again, no one's freaking out after this loss, and you can't freak out after losses. You can't freak out, and I don't think we've seen freakouts from the Sharks, but I think we saw them under incredible pressure early in the year when they weren't winning. But now they can calm down and look at everything individually and start focusing on how they can be better. And we go back the last 5 games, 4 on the road at 1 at home, they've been a better team. Before we run out of time, I did want to give you this quote from Alex Wenberg talking about Macklin Celebrini, which just speaks to how everyone sees him on the ice right now.
I mean, he's a hell of a player. I mean, he's one of the best in the league for sure, and you see him right now. I mean, he makes a difference every time he steps on the ice. And, for us, he is our franchise player, the best player. So it's just so impressive to watch him. And like you said, he's taking another step. So just a joy to be out there with him as well. So
I love that last part that he throws in, just a joy to be out there with him. I mean, that just says it all. The fact that Alex Wennberg, who's an established veteran in this league. He's a father. He has been through a lot in his life, and he's talking about how much fun it is and how important Macklin Celebrini at just 19 years of age is. That doesn't happen by accident, guys. Alex Wenberg's been around. He knows how special Macklin Celebrini is, and he is not afraid to say it. All right, we are out of time. I will be back with you on Thursday as we get ready for the Sharks to take on the Devils. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.